Cool.
All right, here we go. Welcome to Waking the Future. I am Pat.
What's up, guys? I'm Joel.
Good morning, everybody. All right, it's Thursday morning. It's October the 13th, 2022. And we have with us our good friend, Tony. Truth is light. Good morning, Tony. Happy to have
morning,
you back.
Pat. Morning, Joe.
Yeah, man. Hopefully you're doing well over there.
Yeah, pretty good.
Excellent. So, guys, since the last time we had Tony on, we've been emailing back and forth a little bit, and you know, he's been digging into history a little bit and doing his research, and wanted to come back on this morning and talk about a few things that he's been looking into these days and kind of fill us all in. And from there, I mean, I think Tony, just kind of take over and let us know what you've been finding, man.
Yeah, I was trying to be. Have some structure to the dialogues we're having, because the last one went into the power within, taking back our power, and I'm still, that's my passion, being in the moment and living authentically, taking back my power and literally pushing away the system. But this one is more of history behind how we got here.
Right.
So, and this is fairly new to me, but we're looking at Yuri Bezmenov and his four stages of subversion to take over a country. And a bit later on, there's also Zbigniew Brzezinski. I got his name right.
But yeah, wow. Well, I don't know if anyone gets it right.
Yeah, that's more on the global level. So yeah. Bezmenov's national, then you've got the Brzezinski's global. And so pretty much. The Bezmenov character, he apparently defected from the KGB, and he was an expert in subversion, and he based a lot of it on Sun Tzu, the Japanese, what do they call it, the Art of War guy.
Yeah. And yeah,
he supposedly defected from the KGB press. He was a propaganda expert.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Thomas Schumann is the alias that he used in his lectures.
Got ya.
Yeah.
And sum it up, he said, quote from Sun Tzu was, to implement state policy, subvert anything of value in the target country. Then your policy looks like an option. So they've basically done that to the globe. They've destroyed every country, Marxist ideas and division, crazy stuff we're dealing with.
Yeah, 100%.
And he talks of judo. It's a good analogy with judo. He says, you use the country's or people's power against them. So you enrage the people and you get them to attack, but you divert it against each other. So the force that they come at you with, or the anger that's in them, you use that and divert it towards each other. So there's a war between the people.
Yep.
And he says, that's how we do it. We get you to fight amongst yourselves with your own rage. So yep. The fact that we're actually participating in any kind of reaction is our own downfall. Mm. So yeah, literally that is
it. It's a natural thing, you know, humans react, you know, to things. And, you know, that's the genius behind, you know, these two party paradigms that most of us live in our countries is, you know, there's all of these policies and all of these ideas that all, you know, they're all based off of people reacting, right?
Yeah.
It's to get the emotions going. And yeah it's interesting. And it works like a charm.
If you ever take a step back and take and I say this to people all the time. And if you actually look at the differences between these two parties is it's professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The only differences between these two is emotional issues, things that are going to trigger emotion, right?
Yes.
Here in the US, things like abortion, things like critical race theory, things like drag queens talking to kids. Yeah. Like the fact that people get fired up about this, yeah, has shown how, and we're going to, we'll probably touch on this a little bit. I don't want to go too far.
I'll admit, but the drag queen thing gets me enraged.
But yeah. it shows how dumbed down society has gotten, that I am going to engage myself in a conversation about race. Sorry, if you see different colors, I don't really have time for this subject right now, because it's just so, but it shows where they've gotten society. Brainless.
Like judo, they've got the momentum of people's reacting. So they've just got to throw another topic at them and say, look, this, and then they'll react to that because they're in the habit of reacting.
Yeah. And,
Yeah. Well, without reaction, you know, I mean, they have to get reactions from people. You know, if they can't get reactions from people, they can't guide them in the direction that they need them to go.
That's it.
You know, and you know, things like, Joel, you mentioned, you know, the drag queen thing, and, you know, morally wrong things that there are certain groups of people that support. And that one there is a difficult one, and abortion can be lumped into this as well. You know, there's morals behind these, and, you know, that's one of the many ways that we're able to watch them systematically just tearing down all the values of a group of people, is by getting enough people into all of these areas that support these immoral behaviors. And, you know, they scream louder, and then you add social media and the whole metaverse thing that we live in. And you start to realize that with all of the, you know, the bots, basically, we'll just, you know, lack of better terms, all the bots scream even louder, and it makes it seem as if that group of immoral people is much larger than they really are. And that really kind of adds, you know, fuel to the fire. So it continues. Yeah. And, you know, the immoral things that are going on, yes, we should be upset about, we should make a bit of noise about, but at the same time, you know, it's finding the way to correct these things is the issue. And instead of going and running towards Big Daddy government, you know, is there another way? Well, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you need to be aware that they're actually playing games with us.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 100%.
If you're not aware of that. Sorry?
You fix them at home. I know my daughter never been read a story by a drag queen. She's never, I don't want to go off topic. I definitely don't want to talk about drag queens.
No. Yeah. But yeah, the four stages of the lesbian off is demoralization. And that's what we're talking about. They're actually, they've come into the countries, and they've ridiculed what is here. So they're ridiculing this, you know, the stable environment, the family unit, you know, the healthy education, well, not healthy education, but the relatively healthy lifestyle we used to have. And then they ridicule the religions, and they ridicule social life. No, it is not. And another big thing they use is inequality. Mm-hmm. They get into each little group and say, oh, you know, you're not equal. The bosses are getting too much money. You need to fight the bosses for your rights. It's all about equal rights. And they come in with that. That was one of the big things. And then it's, we're not getting paid enough. We're going to strike. Yeah. And then the country falls to pieces because of equal rights.
Yeah. Equality
is one of my favorite things that they, you know, made up things that they throw at us, you know.
Yeah.
There is no two human beings that are equal when you break it down. And, you know, this idea that we all deserve the same things. Well, we do deserve the same basic human rights, right? You know, the things that we're born with, these inherent rights. Past that, dude, you got to do you. You have to become you. And that's where the remainder of the system becomes a major problem, you know, from the indoctrination and all the rest, because it removes the individual and installs the collective. And therein lies, you know, one of the reasons they have such an easy time of going about with the four stages.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And what else I looked into?
Demoralization.
Demoralization. And then you've got the power structures, which the inequality arrow they fire at us is it just destroys all local councils. They get their Marxists in, and then they put their people in the top of the government. Religion, social workers was a big thing. They bring in social workers to get involved with the families, destroy the family. So, oh, you're not doing it right. You're not raising your daughter correctly. My mum, when she was alive, my sister and my little nephew, Peter, and little 16-year-old, 17-year-old girl came in as a social worker telling my mum how to raise her grandson. And my mum's an old Londoner. She's like, banned her lip. She was like, yeah, I'm going to say nothing. I'm just going to watch.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How many kids do you have, little miss? You know?
And when the woman left, the girl left, my mum said to my sister, right, do you hear that? Shut up. Take no notice of what she said.
Right.
I know what I'm talking about. And she helped my sister raise, her son. So it's all to divide and rule. It's to destroy what's there.
Well, that's a perfect example, Tony,
of the system at work right there. They take, a very young person, call them, they say, oh, well, you've been educated where they've just been indoctrinated. You're now a social worker. We want you to go out there. And this is how you're going to tell people to raise their children. These are the steps that people should be taking to raise their children in a civilized society. Well,
The thing is I don't care how much your education is, okay? If I've got 20 or 30 years life experience on you, take your education right out the window. I don't care. I don't care about your Yale or Harvard certificates. I've been living, witnessing, and going along for 20 more years than you.
Yeah.
And all of the things that matter to you at the age of 23, I can tell you now at 42, don't fucking matter. So
it's academic stuff.
Yeah.
So the demoralization is quite straightforward there. You can see what they're doing with that.
Well, I think the demoralization, we've seen it, we've seen it, and this is where really studying history goes in, even the way we talk to each other, even the way, you can hop right onto the internet and it, if you want to find like actual history or something, actually some real good spiritual literature, you got to search. But you can find 650 flavors of porn in one search, and so can a 12-year-old, and so can a 13-year-old, we've got that music. Look at the entertainment. That that's how they demoralize them.
Don't even try to tell me
Cardi B is not a family girl.
And that's exactly it. And it's like and even like take Cardi B, and then you get Tom McDonald, right? You get somebody like Tom McDonald. So here's our division again, right? We've got the guy that he looks like he's doing so much good, but all he's doing is riling up the other side of the coin.
Is
this stuff that he says right? A lot of the stuff that he says is right, but all of a sudden he's saying the same thing Waking the Future says, but he's allowed on YouTube with 2.2 million subscribers. Yet Waking the Future has to get taken off of YouTube because behind it all, we offer a solution. We don't offer we don't fuel the fire.
We at least try to offer solutions. That is,
Intention is the key.
Well, and that kind of transitions us right into number two with the destabilization.
Yeah. So destabilization, I didn't do very much on it. But economy. They get into the economy, law and order, military, and media. They're the three main areas they destabilize.
Yep.
So you'll get into the...
Well, those are core foundations of any society. So once you're able to infiltrate those and put them in the direction that you want them to go, you can build them up, which that's we've seen, and you can tear them down, which I think we're witnessing in many ways.
Yeah, that's the structure of society there.
Yep.
They'll basically create division and antagonism between people in different economies, like the trade unions versus the employers, or what have we got here? Police. The Marxist infiltration of the police, and they've got the women rights, the gay rights, the trans rights. Everyone has to have their rights. The equality bit again, and it creates more division and destruction. And you've got the media who fuel it. They're basically the stirrers of, with their wooden spoons.
Right.
Creating well, the even
media,
more division.
The media is an opinion piece. There's no more journalism out there in the mainstream media. It's just, these are our opinions, but we're going to give them to you as if they are facts.
Yes.
And, you know, you see that one. That's a big part of it that you'll see if you're talking to somebody. You know, if they're a Fox News watcher, you know already their talking points. And if they're a CNN watcher, you know, likewise, you'll know already their talking points. And I'm sure it's the same thing. What do you guys in UK? You guys, obviously, BBC being, you know, the big, you know, leftist, whatever.
Yeah.
What would be the alternative to that? Like, do you guys have a Fox News over there? You know,
like the last year or so, we've had a new one called GB News.
Yeah, GB. Yep. That's got the dude with the beard on it there.
Stein, is it? Richard Stein or
something like, maybe that's it. I'm thinking of a different guy. But yeah.
Shocking. Yeah. What an odd name for a news broadcaster.
Yeah.
I've never guessed that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think myself, I can't probably have to think on it. It's just, and then there's always the expert opinion. We believe this. And then you think,
well, you're our expert opinion, Tony.
Oh, cool.
Thank you. It's good, man. See, we got something on mainstream media too.
Balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the callers. I listen to the radio sometimes with the chat shows. And there's an LBC is the big one over here. It's, I think it's actually national now. So the whole of Britain. And it's literally, it's a joke. If you don't understand it, you buy into it. But I listen and I think, well, that caller's rigged.
Yep.
That expert's rigged. These callers haven't got a clue. They believe in this. They're phoning in thinking this system's real.
Yep.
Oh, Nick, I love you, Nick. You're so good, Nick. I'm like, turn it off.
Anytime you get an expert opinion, all it takes is 5 minutes of following the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, that's odd. Yeah. Okay. You've got this many shares in this company and you're toting their line. How shocking. Mm-hmm. Like it seems so complex. But for anybody, you know, you can do all the digging you want and you can get deeper and deeper, but to really find out what they're doing, and then on an expert opinion especially, is just research, like 5 minutes. It's crazy.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah. And if you try, I called it a few years ago to put my two penneth, and then, we're not talking about it at the moment. It's relevant, but I think I'm going to talk about it. Mm. I'm actually shining a light on what the hypocrisy of it all is.
Right.
And, we're coming up to a break. Thanks, Tony, for the call.
Yeah. Right. We'll get back to you. Ever.
Yeah.
Well, that's
the thing. You know, this is the same thing. So, you know, here in the States, we have NPR. And, you know, on occasion, somebody will tell me about how they listen to NPR to be informed. And it's like, wow. You can't be any more misinformed, you know, and they bring on their specialists and topics. And these trust the science people, you know.
Yeah.
And so long as you're trusting their brand of science that's bought and paid for by Pfizer, Moderna, and the rest, then, you know, you're on the right side of things, according to them. And I mentioned NPR only because, well, you mentioned there, you know, the one there. But also yesterday, I was a little bit warm out in the afternoon, and I was stuck in a little bit of traffic leaving the city. And the guy next to me, he's in a pickup truck, whatever, his windows are down, and I can hear he's listening to NPR, and I just cringe. I cringed. I'm like, my God, this poor soul. I know a lot of people listen to that, but it's like, wow, when you actually see someone subjecting themselves to it, it's still kind of baffling at times. But you know, these things, the media, you know, and the law and order, which is a big one, you know, police and military, you know, these things are all put there to keep us in fighting, to keep us divided. And also, you know, when you look at police, you know, who are the police really there for? They're not there, you know, to police anybody except for the average person. And, you know, another example, driving to work yesterday, I had to go by the hardware store first. So I took a different route that I usually don't take. And as I'm coming up over the hill, I'm just keeping up with the flow of traffic. And there are four police cars parked on the side of the road. And this is like, you know, this was 7:15 in the morning. So people are on their way to work. And what they're there doing is ruining people's mornings because they maybe were going a little bit too fast. And that's all they're there for. And when somebody comes over that hill and they see the four people, instantly the brakes get slammed on. People are now in panic mode. And it keeps that fear going that, whoa, you know.
And this is what I love, right? This is the best part. And you, and with the police and everything is you make a great point, because here you get people. It's all it is hypocrites, okay? You have these people that say, this is what I'm all about. I'm all about individual liberty and sovereignty. And I'm all about these things.
Yeah.
But please pull over my neighbor as he's going too fast.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
As, you know, because of freedom and individual rights and the sovereignty I believe in. And this is where I struggle in society, is you people... they've been brainwashed into believing that they actually stand for these things while standing for the exact opposite in literally sometimes the same breath.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and the right is famous for it. Yeah. Like rights, small government, blah, 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 law and order. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Pick one. Just pick one.
Yeah. I need the hypocrisy to keep them.
Dialectic,
going.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. You know, absolutely. I mean, people are torn on all these things, and you know, it's the law and order. It's the everybody has their own set of rights, right? You know, I mean, if you're a dude that wants to say he's a girl, you know, you have rights. And it's like,
you're a girl,
no, you don't. You don't have any rights that are any different than any other human being. And, you know, no matter what you do, you can go petition the government and ask them to use force on people. Yeah, sure. If you want to call that a right, but it's not. It's you utilizing force against people to do things that they don't want to do. And that's, you know, part of that destabilization, because now you're angering an entire group of people, and what they'll do is they'll continue to act. And
that's a good point. And going back to really old, you know, when you want to get an idea of how things have really changed, there's a gentleman that I know, a gay gentleman, and he's pushing 70 years old. And I asked him one time about, you know, everything that we see going on. And he's like, Joel, there's always been gay people. He's like, this isn't anything new. He goes, people used to keep their private lives private.
Yeah.
And we used to just, you know, and he just gave a very good, and he doesn't, you know, just like the older woman that I talked about, that's one of my favorite things to do, is talk to people that are older and really talk to them.
Oh, you get a lot of sympathy.
It's like the 82-year-old black woman who said, she said something like, yeah, for the most part, Black Lives Matter is for white college kids, you know?
Yeah, and that's it.
It's,
I've seen it.
And they're parents, exactly. Obviously.
Yeah. So, sorry, Tony, please continue.
Sorry, yeah. And yeah, we
get off on these tangents,
man, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, where were we again?
I'm bad anyway.
Apologies.
Like demoralization, they do that with everything. They've done that. Then destabilization, you just mentioned. Then once you've destabilized the country, they can take us into crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And my take on that was what I've got from the videos I watched. When legitimate bodies of power and social structures collapse, bringing artificial bodies injected into society, such as non-elected committees the WHO, UN, Gavi, the Gates Foundation, et cetera, et cetera. Social workers, I mentioned. Media, self-appointed opinion makers, other strange groups, a mix of religious and ideological. Civil rights given to criminals, leading to more chaos. People then call for strong government, in quotes. Mm-hmm. Leader for a concerted effort. Socialism, Marxism, fascism. Mm. So
whateverism.
Yes. But they've got the chaos now. They've got the crisis mode. Everyone's panicking because the whole society is collapsing. And they know that they're going to be calling for a strong leader to fix it all. And that's when they come up with their solution. And then it's, oh, okay, we'll have to lock in a ban.
Solution.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So, and the people go along with it because they're in a state of desperation.
Yeah.
Which is, it's such a cynical plan. When you see it, you get a real idea of how psychopathic these people actually are.
Yes.
And like we said earlier, the guy in the truck listening to NPR and LBC listeners and BBC listeners, it's like they're actually in a cult. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're actually mind controlled in this cult. Yep. By psychopaths. And if you say anything about it, you're the crazy one.
Yeah. Well, they lash out
at you for it. You know?
Yeah. Lash out, yeah.
Yep.
And also another thing is perception management is a term that I've looked into.
Okay.
Where the media will look at a subject and basically tunnel vision on it so that any opposing views won't get on the air. Or in some newspaper, or any publicity at all. So when you watch the TV or listen to the radio or read a newspaper, that perception is as if, oh, the whole world says this.
Right.
And it's they've edited out all opposing views. Mm-hmm. So your mind is telling you via social proof that, oh, it must be me that's wrong because the TV said so.
That's that subconscious.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%. Well, this is why
it was so important for, you know, all of the media, you know, from print to, you know, to television and everything in between, you know, internet, to be controlled, owned, and operated by such a small group, yes. Right? 6 or 5, you know, major corporations. Because if we were to have and allow for a conglomerate to be an alternative view to say, all right, so let's say we have, you know, BBC and we have CNN and we have Fox News or, you know, CBC up in Canada, whatever, you name the, you know, the brand for your country, they're all owned by the same corporations, right? Although BBC, I think they still claim is all owned by the government, correct?
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly, right? But regardless, so if we were to allow, let's say, you know, Truth is Light TV, which becomes a mega conglomerate, but does not talk about things the same way, talks about the destabilization, talks about the subversion and the crisis and the problem reaction solution that these people operate on. They can't have for that. So they need to have these 6 corporations that all work together. They're all shareholders in you know, the Black Rocks and Vanguards and State Streets and all of these. You know, the owners are all the same. You know, they're all CFR members, Council on Foreign Relations. You know, they all sit on these same boards and they all work together. But if we were allowed an outsider like you, Tony, to start something and become large, well, now we have a problem. And this is exactly why it's so genius in so many ways, because the average person believes that, well, if I got it from Fox News, of course it's news. It's Fox News. It's right there in their name, you know, or I got it from CNN. What the hell does CNN even stand for? Does anyone know that anymore? I mean, I've always heard it's Communist News Network, but I mean, is there an actual like name for that? Help me guys on that one. I don't know. But you know, it's so interesting because, you know, the masses of people out there are so heavily brainwashed that they actually believe that NPR is telling them truth. They don't look at who funds them. They don't care about who's funding the scientists, you know, so it's interesting.
Yeah. I think that's the trick. They put the same stories, the same opinions and angle in multiple myriad different organizations. It's like, oh no, BBC said it. Yeah, I don't believe in them. I'm going to Fox.
Yeah.
I like Fox. Yeah, Fox is telling the truth.
Yeah. And it's Tucker Carlson's awesome.
Yeah. They're the truthers. And it's every single avenue that it's coming at you from is one form of their version or another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like total conformity.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. And BBC is owned by the government, just not, you know, it just so happens that the UK it does not have its own form of government. That's simply just another illusion that they give us. And, because we need to, you know, we've got this island and we need to get these people to toe this certain line here. And when you start really digging into it, you can see their organizational skills and their think tanks, and although they are evil, they are able to set aside differences, come to common ground, study facts, and look at data, and be like, this is how you control a society. Now, now what we've got is we've got 3-4 generations into television, okay? So now you've got 3 or 4 generations my father watched Channel 5, my grandfather watched Channel 5. My great grandfather read the New York Times, and so all of a sudden, and that goes into Carl Jung. Okay, these things aren't just established by our specific upbringing, but they were established from generation after generation after generation after generation. We've had generations I've talked about that trust doctors, and there was a time when people could trust their doctors, right?
Yeah.
So now it's all of a sudden they've changed the medical industry so much that now you can't trust a doctor, but people think they can.
Right. Yeah. Total perception management is, it's a cult. And if you're not in it, you're crazy.
Well, and that's 100%. And
you know, obviously we can't talk about crisis mode without, you know, talking about just the past almost 3 years. And that is an example of a crisis that they manufacture. And, you know, when you look at the COVID scam from start to where we are today, whether you look at the mainstream aside, look at the alternative, how at the onset of it, there was so much chatter out there about how fake it is and how made up and it's not a real virus. And then on came, you know, the idea that Fauci and China and, you know, gain of function and all this other fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was slowly started to become a shift where, okay, well, maybe COVID is something. You know, even though, you know, we don't have any tests, it's never been isolated, all the rest of these things, all that shit aside. Well, I've had COVID, so therefore, you know, and we watch it happen. And it just kind of, when you step back and you put your emotions out, you can see how they're able to manufacture a crisis.
Yeah.
And over time, because remember, time is their ally. These people, they knew that, you know, 150 years ago, let's say they started this 150 years ago. I believe it goes further back, but they knew 150 years ago when they started these plans. And COVID wasn't probably written on paper back then, but they knew ways that they were going to go about this. They knew that it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Therefore, my children will be trained to operate the way that I operate, and their children will be trained to operate the way they operate. And that's how they do this. But, you know, all of a sudden now COVID is real. Oh, well, you should go out there and you should use, you know, hydroxychloroquine and these other big pharma, you know, help them out, but just don't go, you know. And we watch this happen, and it's not every alternative media. It's a good portion, though. And all of a sudden, here we are coming up on 3 years quickly, right? I don't even know. And COVID's a legit thing. And here's what you should do if you get COVID. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry, there is not a single person out there who has ever had COVID because there is no such thing. This is what a made up thing is it's not real. Therefore, how do you get something that is not real?
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Kerry Mullis.
Yes.
The PCR test, it's all based on the PCR test. He himself, the inventor, said it's not for diagnosis of illness.
Right.
Therefore, the whole thing is a sham.
Yeah.
You've got the government that lies to you.
Yeah.
But go to the government-sponsored website over at theirs because they've got the truth. It's
That one's the toughest one of all, man. That one
blows my mind.
Yeah. Absolutely. In my opinion, though, Joel, that is the toughest one of all.
Blows my mind. We understand the media is the enemy.
Yeah.
We understand the government's the enemy. We understand Big Pharma is the enemy. But all of a sudden, one of these conglomerate news agencies says something that registers in our subconscious as true, right? Our fundamental beliefs have been triggered. And now all of a sudden, we're going to post that news article everywhere.
Yeah.
Because usually they lie, except for when I agree with them. Then they don't lie. Then they don't lie.
But the Bears one, Joel, is pretty much right now for so many of us the toughest one because, you know, when it comes to vaccine injuries and the devastation that vaccines have had, and I'm not talking about the COVID nonsense. That is in and of itself a problem. I'm talking about the entire childhood schedule. Right. We go back to 1986 when they removed any and all liabilities. Right. But when we look at the damage done to our children and, you know, we see it in autoimmune disorders and allergies and, you know, all these illnesses which benefit Big Pharma. But where do we gauge this? How do we gauge this? And all we're given for information is theirs. And that's where it's like, well, we know they lie to us. Therefore, is this even legit? Do I lean towards, well, it's legit because they only report 5%? Or do I lean towards that it's not legit because they probably don't report anything? And it's a tough one for me. I don't know. Tony, what's your take on that part of it, you know?
Again, it's the club, isn't it? It's one big club controlling all the departments, the media, the government, the pharma, the police, the law, and they've all got a hymn sheet. They've all got the same hymn sheet. What we'll do now, just blitzing with the message, the media. All right, Pharma, you come out with a miracle cure. Put that through the media. Most of the morons are going to jump on board and go, oh, we're saved. And it's a majority rule. So if you're awake and you see you've got half a brain cell left, you're going, hang on a minute. No, that don't make any sense. Shut him up. He's a moron. He's a nutter.
It's very simple for me. And it's vaccines don't really sound like they're in accordance with nature. I've done very little research to find out that they're not good. So you can say whatever you want about vaccines. You can say whatever about against not vaccines, but I'm not going to participate. I don't care about government websites and I don't care about your reporting. I understand that they don't agree with me. So I'm not going to do them. If you got questions and want to be led in the right direction, I can certainly help you out. But that
whole thing from COVID to what we're dealing with now with injections and all that is a major, major, awesome crisis for them because it keeps people infighting and it keeps people laser focused on a singular topic. Meanwhile, you know, we can look over and we can see a lot of things that get missed. And obviously there are people out there that cover, you know, things. Joel and I try our best to cover as much as we can. But you know, you look at anything from the food, weapons manufacturing that has gone from in the 80s or 70s when, you know, get rid of all the weapons to today, you know, we have more weapons on this earth than anybody could even fathom, I think. I mean, you get 600 million firearms in the hands of civilians alone just here in the United States type thing, you know, like, but, crazy. You know, in all these different things. And, you know, it does bring back to, you know, the biggest crises of all is, you know, when and if it starts to happen what if they start to kill people off and how would they go about those things? And ultimately, I guess from crisis mode, what do they gain? They gain more control. They gain more power. These are the things that they really are after. And, you know.
Mm. It's like that order out of chaos.
Yes.
Freemasons.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think the best, you know, one of the best examples of that is 9/11. And if you go into the research, and you can see how the people, the powers that be, felt that they were losing control of the people, the absolute control that they wanted, right?
Yeah.
Bringing the crisis. Now, all of a sudden, you've got these people in panic mode, like you said, order out of chaos, just looking to the government for the solution. Save us, big daddy government, come in and save us. And like, you know, it's just amazing because, I love how Yuri Bezmenov, I love how they come in and they use it. And they literally, this is how they're so deceitful. They come in and they tell us what they're doing. Okay, yes. But here's the deceitful part. It's the Russians. It's the communists. That's here's it. The deceit. Here is the actual deceit. And when you go back into America's secret establishment, you can see how corporations, right? They funded both sides. You had your thesis, Russia, antithesis,
Germany,
Nazi Germany, while they funded both sides, and all of a sudden, and now you can even take it another. It's been another 80 years about since World War II, and how they have kind of switched things and made the Russian red, they're the antithesis, they're the bad, the big bad guys.
Bad guys.
My whole life, we've been going to war with North Korea. My whole life.
Yeah.
Like, and it's never happened. Yeah. But if I go down to the local coffee shop within an hour, right? I'm going to hear the old men in their 70s talking about, we got to take care of North Korea. We got, you know, good job. They're sending over the Navy to North Korea. It's like, oh my
God. Yeah. Like, they're in a dream. They're in a movie.
It's a dream. It's a dream.
Yeah.
It's all a dream. Yeah. Incapable of critical thought. Incapable of going back 10 years and being like, wait a second. This looks familiar. This looks very familiar.
It's a dream. It's
a manufactured dream. And that's where, you know, Carl Jung, you know, I mean, if you look at it, right, they know that all they need to do, they need to prey off of the short attention spans and the short memories of the general population, the short attention span. You know, they're given more and more drugs to help that, even though it doesn't. And then the memory, you know, I mean, one would say, well, the drugs are going to help, you know, to eliminate people's long-term memories on things. But also, you know, you add into that the manufactured crises after crises, you add into all of that, everything that's used to destabilize the society as a whole, all the things that people fight about. And they can continue this as long as they'd like, which is interesting because, you know, when you get to number four being normalization, Tony, you know, which is some would argue we're in that phase now. I tend to think that we're not quite there yet. But in some ways, you know, it's hard to say we're not, you know, but what do you think?
Yeah. The crisis, you know, the constant keeping us distracted with one thing that we can't focus. We can't settle and stabilize and get a real focused view on it. It's like, I don't know why I'm saying this, but John Kabat-Zinn is a meditation guru. And he said, if you don't meditate, it's like looking at the stars through a telescope or jumping up and down on a trampoline. He says, when you're mindful, you're still inside, you're centered, and you're still in a core. But when you're not mindful, you might as well be looking at the stars through a telescope or jumping up and down on the trampoline. And it's that's what they're doing to us. They're distracting us from all angles. And we're so unstable. We can't see the wood for the trees. We can't see the obvious. And we're like in our community, we're like the kid watching the magician. Saying, no, it's in his pocket. It's up his sleeve.
Yep.
It's under his hat. And everyone's going, no, it ain't. And he's saying, shut up, get him out of here.
You're exactly right. We don't, nobody understands what's actually even going on around them.
Yeah.
Because they're over here. They're worried about, you know, oh, I get paid Thursday. I got this bill. I got to do that. I got to get, bam, they get hit by a bus. It's all over.
Yeah.
Because you were so focused on everything else, you stepped off the sidewalk while you were staring at your phone, looking at your bank account.
That's it.
Like,
yeah.
Instead of staying on your board, staying on your surfboard.
Right there. Like,
stay in the moment now.
Like right where I am. And it's
I like that analogy
though. It's like it's like looking at a star through a telescope while standing on a trampoline. You know, I don't meditate in the sense of it, like, but for example, you know, I go back to the gym again and I'm starting to do that, and it's a form of meditation.
That's meditation. The one thing, and I think Tony, you'll agree, is that there's no actual definition of meditation.
I can't sit there and be like,
what we've done with meditation is, and this is goes into the wordplay a little bit, is we've taken meditation and we've turned it into that term of like sitting, like Pat does, and that's been and it's just meditation is anything we can do to like live in the moment.
Yes.
While Pat's lifting weights,
yeah, exactly.
and that's what he's talking about. Some people like to fish, right? I like to do the sitting meditation. I love to, like, fishing for me. I'm like, who finds fun in that? I'm like, you take a hook and you throw it into the water and you wait.
All right, guys, I'll be looking for a new co-host. Anybody who's like, interesting, I can no longer associate with Joel.
I used to like fishing when
anti-fisherman.
I used to like fishing when I drank, and my ex-girlfriend at the time goes, "You don't even fish. You like an excuse to go drinking. That's what you like."
Yeah, and the scenery.
Because you're not fishing, you're drinking on a boat.
A very small boat that's not very stable either. But no, you're right, Joel, you know. So real quick, we're going to run short on time if we're not careful. Let's get into a little bit of your thoughts on this normalization stage, Tony.
Yeah. The normalization is when they've basically got society how they want it,
mm-hmm.
and they've taken over all the councils, the local government, higher government. They've subverted the schools. They've got their teachers in the schools teaching their rubbish. They've got the law officers corrupted and all their people in.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the lawyers in their pockets. So it's all their people now. Mm-hmm. And now they need stabilization, normalization, in order to establish that as the norm.
Yep.
And they need to now, I've written it down, I've typed it out. Those that were instrumental in bringing about this subversion and this new way of life will now be disposed of if they're not agreeable to it. And all those people that were social workers or activists, you know, the protesters that preaching about equality and women's rights and trans rights, if they don't get with the program, the new normalization program, they're going to be disposed of. And they don't see that. They bought it all in, but they won't be paid and rewarded for it. They're disposable. And they don't get it. They brought it in.
Well, that's an interesting thought
that pops into my head as a result of that, Tony. It's on point. So, you know, they have control of all of those things, from education to law to lawyers, you know, everything, the entire system they've infiltrated, they've taken control of, right? And, you know, overall, we look at the system, and it doesn't matter which country you're in, they have these controls, right? This is why we know that, you know, if we try to find justice through the injustice system, for example, you know, mask mandates in schools and in society as a whole, you know, what real justice was found by going through the injustice system on that? No, these are blanket, you know, it was said, therefore it is, because, you know, your selected officials decided that this is, you know, so all these things. Now we see the useful idiots out there that support all of these things. Right now, they're also the ones, coincidentally, that are out there on the front lines of the experiment of taking all of these shots, of taking all of these things. that leads down a different path of what from what I have been thinking of lately is maybe they will be disposed of. Maybe they will be dispatched. And those that didn't, well, we have famine and we have other things that we could, you know, use for you. Or we just have, you know, a mass armament, you know, in every country. You know, just interesting that the normalization period, you know, we do see it in many ways, but I don't know that we're quite there 100% yet. I don't know that
I don't believe we are.
No, you know, like this idea, we do kind of in so many ways have this one world government, etc. But sorry, I keep cutting you off, Tony.
No, it's all right. Yeah, it's not there yet.
Yeah, go on, Tony.
Sorry. Yeah, the normalization is to stabilize their new order, which will show how ruthless they actually are. You know, it'll be, you're no longer needed, get rid of them.
Yep.
And then the propaganda, it will be a new message. We need to come together, we need to be united, all on the same page, one world religion. You know, all your religions have to go. That's going to be a big shock to people. Science. And it's only then when people realize what they helped bring in and all their religions are going to go, people are going to lose the plot with that.
Yeah.
If they're not already losing the plot now with what's going on in the schools and their children, mm-hmm. and government and everything, if they can't see that now, I don't know what to think of it.
Yes, it's really quite amazing.
Yeah.
And some of the normal that we see today is look at what they've done. Now, every time anybody gets sick, okay, what do they have? Oh, they better get tested for COVID. You know, I had my second job yesterday and I came. So at my second job, this woman came in. And she's all masked up and she goes, you better watch out. I was sick last week. And I go, yeah, I brought my umbrella because it rained last night. And I didn't exactly get a very friendly look after that.
No?
I think she got my point. But,
yes.
You know, I think the new normal and actual truth, right, if I see truth, is that nothing is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the normal is the impermanence of things, of the permanence of things always changing.
Mm.
Yes.
Right. What if the normal that they're talking about here is that the normal is that you're going to listen to our propaganda and you're going to obey. And that's what you're going to do.
Like underwear, the way we tell you to.
It's amazing. It absolutely baffles me that since the influx of COVID, there is not another virus that exists. There's not, you can't get a runny nose, you can't get a cough, you can't get all of the seasonal things like right now. You're going to see here in Massachusetts, you're going to see a lot more masks because people are going through the same old cycle that we've always been going through. And at the change of seasons, we're going to get a cold, we're going to, whatever the case may be, that's the normal. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah. I think we've got to live our lives according to our truth and know that these are just fickle changes in time. It might seem like there's a big 100-year plan that's coming to fruition, but I don't know if I mentioned I did philosophy. I've started up again. And last night, Wednesday evening, 2 hours, and we went to the being and becoming. And it, we did a list on the I am. What the self is, and it's all different subjects, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Jesus, Buddha, whatever the wisdom is, it's great wisdom, but it's a chat in an evening of like-minded people. And the tutor put on the board on a piece of paper, I am a parent, I am a father, a mother, I am a daughter, a son, I'm a passenger on a bus, I'm a driver, I'm a teacher. And he said, the I am, it's the constant. That never changes. That's who we are.
You could take away the I. Am.
Or
am
even the
on
am.
Bus. Yeah, you can take away. I'm actually reading. I'm going through. Of course, it's a translation, but Marcus Aurelius's Meditations.
Yeah,
and it's the same. Like these were thinkers. These people had a clue, and that's where like, is it in accordance with nature? Are things in accordance with how things are? Are they or aren't they?
They can't last. These systems can't last. As long as you stick to the I am, the truth, the eternal I, you just watch it. Just watch it come into being and collapse, and something else will come in. Because if we lose ourselves in that system, that big mistake, you know, we are the eternal I, believe. So I is constant witness. I am passenger, parent, brother, sister, whatever. That is the becoming. So that is the manifestation of the changes in life. That's just consciousness creating. But we are the consciousness constant. We are. I mean, I like to bring it back to a philosophical way somehow. It come out as my mind somehow.
I love it.
That's Tony. That's
it. But yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. We don't need to get involved in it. We don't need to be pulled into it because it's just this silly circus.
I find, you know,
there's the awareness and then there's the hyper awareness and, you know, finding the balance for it, you know, and by that, I mean, you know, I can be aware that all of these things are going on. But then the hyper awareness is when all I do is laser focus on a singular part of the
That's the attachment
big picture. Yeah, exactly. And
now you're a part of it.
Right. You know? And for that, you know, Joel and I, you know, we did that for so long, you know, specifically when it came to, you know, the COVID injections and the COVID hoax as a whole. And, you know, when we stopped, there was a lot of pushback from people that were like, whoa, wait, you guys aren't, you know, and they're out of that. Thankfully, though, we get people like you, Tony, to come on the show and, you know, see through and see the reason and see the growth in that. And, you know, just because a singular topic isn't the only thing talked about, you know, that to me is a good thing, you know. And opening ourselves and broadening our horizons, you know. So Joel just informed me he is out on time, unfortunately. So Tony, we still have an entire bit to go through. So we're going to have to pick up where we left off, I think, pretty soon on this one, brother.
I think next week, same time, same place. We'll just...
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah? All right. Well, it's a date. I don't normally date men, so no.
That's...
Sorry, it's I couldn't help myself, guys.
It's a mandate.
Mandate, yeah.
But, Tony, again, thank you, man. We appreciate you so much, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you too, guys. You're a breath of fresh air to this world. I mean,
thanks.
Truth is, it's eternal. You're never going to get rid of us.
Amen. We're just stay, mate.
They're going to pass by.
Yeah, it's moment by moment, second by second, it's all gonna, you know, and that's it. And the part that I love most about it is we're always in search of something. Just critical thinkers and just able to think critically. We don't have to sit here and blame the other side. We don't have to sit here and point fingers. No. And we can search from within, which is where God is, which is where, whatever you want to call it, it all comes from this fundamental idea that there is something true.
I just penned you into the calendar, Tony, and next Thursday.
So yeah, Tony, thank you so much.
Thanks,
no worries.
Tony,
thanks for having me on.
We'll see you.
Pleasure, man.
Everybody listening, next Thursday, the 20th, we will all be here again to share our whatever we happen to share. We'll be going on this subject a little bit further, diving in a little bit further. But as always, do not take Tony's word for it. Definitely do not take Pat's word for it. Absolutely do not take my word for it. Do your own research, come to your own conclusions and your own truth. Remember, guys, freedom starts at home and from within. Laters.